Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Today, we are very, very fortunate, very lucky, I would say, to have a very special co-host with me, Clayton. Welcome to the podcast.
Ben, man, last time I saw you, you were kicking everyone's butt in golf. And now here we are on a maybe a little bit more equal playing field. I like my chances of speaking a lot versus playing golf, so I might be able to hang with you this time.
This is going to be a good episode because you just said the one compliment in the world to me that means the most to me. So thank you for recognizing that. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. Last time we were together, you shot like one. We did go golfing at a beautiful place. You surprised everybody because you don't play golf typically. You're a monstrous man. You make a club look very small in your hand.
Well, those were undersized clubs too, I should say. So that's part of it.
I think they were bigger than mine, and you make them look small. And then we went back to the house. I had to actually head out of town for another event, and I'm on the plane And I'm on this plane, and all of a sudden, your name is blowing up everywhere on my Google Alerts, like everywhere. Walk us through what happened after the golf round that day. And did you expect your videos with Rachel and Michelle to do what they did?
Ben, you're coming out hot, man. Yeah, I thought we were going to warm up. I didn't realize
we are warming up. This is easy. This is
easy stuff. Oh, great. I can't even wait for what's to come. Yeah, you know, I mean, well, you know, we were there for a couple of days and just feeling the situation out. Day one, when I came out of the airport and I first saw Rachel, I was like, do I need to get ready to duck something, a water bottle or, but no, she was super sweet. And so we were all having a good time. And then when you left, we were all sitting there and we thought, hey, you know, let's just have some fun with this. Right. Like how far we've come, and now we can sit in a room together and laugh and understand one another, and we've made amends, and let's just have some fun with this. So the ideas came up with TikTok, and I'm not the visionary, but I can usually add on to things here and there. So we started talking and said, this would be fun if we, you know, set this up this way. And so we did, and then it popped off. And then all of a sudden I had to start answering to some things. And but you know, again, for me, more than anything, it just showed that you know, how far we've all come and how we're able to look past kind of all the pain that had presented itself years prior. So this is a fun moment, but of course, people on the internet like to gas everything up and just see if there's something more than what there is there. And so, of course, then all these questions came and followed.
I thought it was super fun. I think it's really cool. Just to give perspective, because I talk on this show every week, right? And so it's always good for people to hear a different perspective. Two questions for you. One, was this the first time you've ran into somebody on your season that was in the top four other than Susie? And then two, can you just speak to a little bit, because I know that it's a very real thing, but some people watch this show and they don't think like real life and the show ever connect. Like, how odd is it being around like a Rachel or a Michelle even, you know? What are the nerves like? What are you feeling walking into a room where you know you're going to be around both these people, maybe for the first time?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, I have not run across Gabby yet. And then Serene would have been the other person. But yes, I've run across Serene a few times because Brandon and I are very close. And so that was funny, the dynamic when we first like hung out together. He was like, whoa, easy on the hug there. And he'd be like, step in the middle. He'd be like, hey, y'all are getting too close. So he was, you know, playing that dynamic of, oh, you guys, I'm going to keep my eye on you guys. But it was playful. And of course, like him and I are such close friends. And Serene and I had a good, you know, we have a good friendship now. And I think things ended a lot better with her on the show than like with the final three. So there wasn't much there to have to be maybe concerned about or have to overcome. I guess I've hung out with now three of the four final individuals. So who knows if I'll ever cross paths with Gabby. I know she's super busy. But to answer the second half of your question, I don't really like the nerves for me, and you could probably attest to this. I feel like after you go through so much, you put your entire life on display for everyone to judge every facet of you. They're going to look at how you kiss. They're going to look at your game. They're going to look at, you know, how, if you have empathy or not. They're going to judge your career. They're going to judge what you're doing after the show. After all this, these constant eyes on you, it just kind of starts to become, you just kind of not, I don't know if hardened is the right word, but you're kind of like battle tested. And so you just feel that then whenever you're faced with circumstance that maybe normally would be uncomfortable for most, I typically just think, here's all the things that you've went through and done. And a lot of these things now just don't really incite fear in me or concern. My biggest thing is when I step into a situation like that is just first off reading the room and making sure, hey, like, do we have that mutual respect? And I want to make sure we're all good on this. And then, can we kind of be playful, or is it something that we need to like step aside and have a conversation with one another? And so that's the way I look at it. But I wasn't necessarily nervous when I first bumped into Rachel. You know, it had been a year, and the last time we talked was at AFR. But more than anything, you just want to make sure that person's okay and that you're cordial. And if there's some beef you got to settle, then it's like, okay, let's go do this as two mature individuals. So that's the way I look at it. And with Michelle as well, I mean, the connection, we never got to that place that I got with maybe someone like Rachel or Gabby or Susie, right? Like with Rachel or with Michelle, I was taken out at number eight. So we never had that strong of a connection. And we've always been cordial on that front. So, I try not to overthink it these days, which is a big, big statement, but I don't know. I mean, have you run into people from your Final Four and how do you approach that?
Yeah, I have. I think at this point I've, everybody but Kayla I've seen. I ran into JoJo at an airport.
Okay.
And
that's the airports, man.
Yeah, dude, for me, I do get nervous. I'm with you where you're a little more hardened. You're a little more prepared. That stuff doesn't affect you as much. But when I know that I'm going on a trip or when I know that I'm going to be in the same place as somebody that was on my season, I do get anxious, and I'll tell you why, and it might be my own issue, but I always had this idea that all these women are on a text thread and all these women are living in the house and I'm kind of on my island alone, and you're really only going to make one person potentially happy on your season. Everybody else is going to be mad at you for some reason and also rightfully trying to like say whatever they can, you know, to make themselves feel better about not, you know, the experience not going the way maybe they thought it would, even though they all end up very okay over the years. And so I always walk into these like insecure, feeling like kind of the enemy, the outsider. Mm-hmm. And especially when there's more than one of the women on my season in the same room at some time, I just feel like I'm going to walk into this room and they're all like going to be giggling, like, you know, and making fun of me, and I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, now, you know, you can, and I'm taking it all in. So I do get nervous, maybe not as much anymore. But at the beginning, I remember being very anxious for these moments and very uncomfortable. I thought you handled it really well. I mean, I watched it, you know, I've been able to be around Rachel now a few times, since her season ended and catch up with her on her personal life and, you know, the things she's up to and her fears and how she's walking through the process post being a lead. And so I knew the storyline going into that weekend. Like I knew that was going to be a thing and kind of be awkward maybe. And I thought you just handled it well. I thought you rolled with it. The weekend ended up being a lot of fun. And I think a lot of that is how you and Michelle and Rachel handled yourselves. Like you just made it fun and you made it funny. You kind of have to laugh at it. Maybe that's a piece of advice for anybody going through a breakup and you run into that person again is maybe if you just can put a smile on your face and try to have the best time possible, it makes it a lot easier. But yeah, I thought the whole weekend went well because of the way you three handled yourselves. It could have gone south.
And I will say, yes, those text threads do exist.
Yeah.
I've seen them to some degree, or I've heard of them, but beyond that though, I agree with you. I went through the same thing that you went through where I started to a lot of times, project what I thought people were going to, how they would react when they saw me, because I was like, okay, they're talking this way about me. So when I get into a room with them, they're going to be thinking these thoughts internally. But what I found a lot of times and where I've gotten to today, and I went through everything that you just said that you went through, I went through that exact thing, but I finally told myself a lot of times I will project and then the outcome will never occur that I'm projecting. Mm. So I thought, if I just go in with an open mind and with a smile on my face and I approach it and say like, let's just be like, let me go in here and really just try to be who I am authentically, but show that I'm willing to just try to make this work out and establish this friendship or whatever it may be. I feel like however you carry yourself is what is going to then project and rub off onto that other individual. So if I'd have walked in with that first interaction and I would have, you know, avoided eye contact and just kind of like got in the car right away without saying hello, that entire weekend would have been awkward, right? Like whatever energy you project is probably going to be received. And so I just thought, hey, I'm just going to walk out with a smile and just be like, hey, how's it going? But like in a kind of a humorous slight way of, you know, how are we? But, you know, again, I think like that energy reads. And then I found that when you do that, a lot of times it will put someone's guard down and they go, okay. I mean, we both, I also did ask ahead of time. I said, does she know I'm coming? Mm-hmm. We were like, yeah, she does. I said, okay, well, if she hated me, then if she knows I'm coming, unless she's going to just hurl something at me, we're probably okay because she's aware. So I did check. And then from that point forward, I thought your interaction is going to be whatever you make it. So if you decide to be awkward about it, it'll be awkward. If you decide to be rude, it'll be rude. But if you decide to be kind, caring, and attentive, that's the way it'll be taken, received. And it was. That's what she gave back to me.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to, hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns, ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair.
And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Well, I was really glad that we got to spend that I got to meet you in person. Right. There's a quality about you, obviously, that's done that there's a quality about you that displays a lot of wisdom. I think this is just one, you know, for the TikTok video that came out, fans watch it and they react and they, like you said, they blow it up. They have their assumptions.
Which TikTok video? Because I keep having more come out.
Oh, well, the one with Rachel and Michelle. Well, the one that really got popular. Yeah. You know, but I always, especially on this show, like to go to the behind the scenes, and you just explained it, like your mental preparation, how you prepared yourself to meet somebody that you didn't exactly know how the response would be. And so there's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of care for your mental state. And how you handle yourself. And it also displays in your newest project. And we're going to get to the show and this episode, and we're going to, you know, blab on about what happened on this episode.
I say I got a lot to talk about, man, in that show episode. It deals with the mental aspect side of it too, the mental health side. So
oh, I can't wait.
I'd be curious to hear your opinion.
Yeah, well, your perspective is going to be great. But before we get to that, I do want to take a second and highlight a project that you just came out with, your book. Something that we got to speak about on the way to the golf course, something that matters and means a lot to you, that you worked on very hard for a long time. So just give your best promo and kind of what people can expect out of this book before we get to the opinions of the episode.
Yeah, well, I put a lot into that book. It took me 9 months to write, so it was my baby, basically, right? So, and it really boils down to a story of how an individual can go from self-doubt to self-belief and how individuals can harness that hope that if I've went through that, then they can as well. So I open up and just get very candid and try to destigmatize the conversations around mental health. And the book is for anybody else who is struggling with depression, anxiety, comparison culture, social media, cyberbullying. It's if anyone's going through a struggle in their life and feels that they're walking down this path, that's a dark path, and they don't feel like they can see the light, then to me, this is what that book's about. It's meant to show somebody, hey, I'm walking alongside you right now. You're not alone in this. And as you hear my story, you may start to see these connections, and then you'll be able to start pivoting the way that you view your own reality. And we can hopefully get you to a place where you start to see that light off in the distance and you start walking toward it. So that's essentially what the book is in a nutshell. I've had to get really good at trying to nutshell it because there's just so much that I'm passionate about that's in the book, but it's a story of self-doubt to self-belief and that path and how to get there. That's the best way I can describe it.
What's the name of the book? Where can people pick it up and find it?
180 degrees. And it's, if you go on my Instagram, I keep everything funneled there. Click on the link in my bio and it'll take you to that Amazon link. It's on Amazon for purchase.
Sweet. So to close here, why was this topic important to you? I mean, it's obviously important for you personally. You saw that this was your story. You wanted to work on things and move through things and grow as a human. But why do you care if anybody else does it?
Because I think we're all more alike than we realize. We all have these insecurities, but I think where a lot of us struggle is we don't address them. We just continue to suppress them. And the more we suppress them, we don't know if anyone else is going through it because we're not willing to have the conversations. This will tie into the episode from last night because it's I saw a lot of it and it really hit home with me where I was relating to a lot of the women, relating to Zach as well, and where these insecurities can start to bubble up. And when you feel that you're not able to talk about it because you're afraid of how it might be received, then you end up getting into your own head. You end up projecting, you end up making these assumptions, and you can't be your 100% authentic self. And you either close off or you have an outburst of emotion. And so, that's why having these conversations, I thought it was just very timely and you know, to watch the episode and to see this happening with the individuals in the show. And I thought, this is not just show related though. This is real life related, right? We oftentimes struggle, but we just don't talk about it. And if we did, we'd realize that if you open up to the right people, it brings you closer together. It doesn't tear you farther apart. So that's why I'm talking about it, because I'm like, hey guys, look at me. I'm happy. And after everything I went through, I'm opening up, and I continue to do so. Why am I opening up? Because I must be getting some type of positive response, and it's helping me. So that's, if someone sees that, they go, well, maybe I can do it too. And everyone that I talk to, they do it and they feel a lot better. And they think, why didn't I open up years ago? So that's why I'm having this conversation, just to get more people to feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah. Well, from me to you, you know, my opinion, we're probably close to the same age. How old are you?
29. About to be 30, yeah. Though. Ugh, about to hit the 30.
Yeah. So I'm 33.
Okay.
So we're not too far apart, but you know, I was young when I went on the show, and have had, you know, 6.5-7 years of going through this process. And it's always interesting when you get to meet a lead. We didn't get to speak before your season, but it's always interesting for me when I get to meet a lead post show, because things change no matter if you believe they are going to or not, right? The criticism happens. That's part of what you sign up for. You don't know it at the time, but you sign up to be criticized, and you sign up to be celebrated, and you signed up to be critiqued. And you sign up for all of these things because people watch the show for entertainment. And after a while, you kind of just accept that, because it happens, and it happens to everybody. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. It's happening to Zach. But it's one of the coolest questions that I get to hear somebody ask, or maybe I get to ask to a lead bachelorette or bachelor post show, is, what do you want to do with this? Like, you have... necessarily, the world's not your oyster, right? You don't have every opportunity in the world. Nobody's going to hire you to host the coolest, biggest show on TV. And most of the time, you have to kind of figure out your own lane, which we talked about as well. But the big question is, what do you want out of all of this? Or what do you want the world to benefit from you having this platform? And it's incredible. Not everybody does it. And I didn't do it at first. I kind of had to learn the hard way. But it's incredible to see somebody a year out from their season, spending your platform and your time to try to benefit not only yourself, but the fans and the people that have followed your story and are interested in your story. So that's kudos to you, because the world will be a better place because of this book and because of having these conversations. And I think that's a big deal.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand, and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
I was going to ask you, for me, I feel like I found my why, and it's really cool to have gotten to that point. Did you feel like you found your why after the show? Like, did it kind of push you into figuring out who I am and what I want in life? Or did you already know that prior to the show? What did the show kind of do for you outcome wise when you came off it? Cause I know your backstory. I mean, I guess I beat your record, a record I wasn't trying to beat. You told two people that you
fell
in love with them. And I decided to go the extra mile. So, but I heard you were well received, but I mean, overall, what did the experience do to you afterwards? I mean, did you have to do a deep dive as well into your identity and figure out like, what am I going to take from this and where do I go from here?
It's a great question. At first, I became very excited about the fame and I didn't realize I was being excited about the fame, right? You'd be invited to these red carpets. You'd be at these parties. You'd still be on the cover of magazines. People would be talking about you. You'd be getting emails every day and turning down opportunities. That quickly goes away. Kind of like, it goes quick. But I was still doing cooler stuff than I'd ever done before. And there was a moment in time that it hit me. I was in an airport after an event where I met, I forget what actor, I think it was Samuel L. Jackson. And I called up my family and I was telling them this, and they were like, that's awesome. Like, how was he? And I was like, wait, that's not the response I was expecting. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting you to think I was super cool for being at the same party as Samuel L. Jackson and like celebrating me because I was at the same party and wow, I've made it. And like, they didn't. And then I called my friends kind of expecting the same response, and they didn't at all give me the same response. They never cared about what I was doing. They just wanted to hang out and watch football. And I felt very lonely. Got a good
friend group.
Yeah, I do. And I got very lonely. So I called up one of my buddies, who's a good counsel to me and a very wise friend. And I was telling him my feelings and my emotions here and like what I was expressing and how I was getting angry at my family and my friends because they weren't celebrating me like I thought they should or would. And he goes, Ben, what if this whole thing was meant to be for something bigger than yourself? What if this was never meant to be about you? And that statement alone changed everything for me. Now, my work, my passion, and the things I really cared about existed before the show. But what the show did was it handed me a platform that allowed that why to be catalyzed to a bigger like purpose. And so now I had this platform that wasn't about me staying relevant and wasn't about me staying famous and wasn't about me making headlines. But now that platform allowed me to advocate, to share, to connect, to build community around things that I already had a purpose in. But I just didn't feel like I could make the impact. Like I didn't know what my impact was within those organizations or those social causes until really the show. And now I have, you know, luckily for me, I don't know where I would have been without the show. But luckily, that platform has handed me the ability to have a skill set. Like I can now, you know, with a push of a button, advocate on behalf of people. So I think the show helped me afterwards just feel like I had a purpose in my why. Where I don't know. I hope I would have found that purpose without the show. I think I could have. I don't know how that journey would have looked. So yeah, I mean, the show helped a lot in my why, but it helped. It was, for the most part, it was a growing process for me, which it sounds like it is for you, and you hope it is for every person that comes off the show, cast member or lead, that the show helps them grow at some level.
Yeah, I think what I've seen in my own as I've observed individuals is there's two ways you can go about it. You can become more egotistical because you can come off the show and say, "I was the guy or the gal," and I'm the big time and everyone's been kissing my butt and they'll continue to. And I'm up here, right? Yeah. I've seen people just go completely through the roof with their ego. And then I've seen other individuals that have sacrificed their ego more than ever. They see it and they say, this is bigger than me. You know, this is what I have now. I'm grateful for, but I'm going to stay humbled and I'm going to be able to use this for good, however it may go. So it's hard, though. I don't blame anybody for getting a little egotistical when everyone's patting you on the back and you're getting all these backstage events and everyone's telling you how great you are and how, you know, you know what doesn't stink and everyone's just right there beside you. And so you get pumped up. You're used to it. And then all of a sudden, like you said, it gets pulled out from under you very quickly. And then you start to question, like, well, am I just not who I used to be? Am I not worthy of those compliments anymore? And reality is people were probably pushing you up a little bit more than what, you know, they probably treated you a little bit more in a higher regard than like what they maybe should have, because it was all, a lot of those individuals were just around you and maybe wanted to be in the same room as you. But to your point, you know, you got good friends when they're for the entire time, they're just like, I don't care, man. Let's watch football. Yeah. I don't care about the fact that you met so-and-so or that you got this back. Yeah. That's cool, buddy. But like, you know, let's just talk life. But it's hard because you, as the lead, you balance that of, you know, everyone puts me up here. So where do I land? Am I up here or am I here? Where do I fit? And what are the expectations of me too? And there seems like there's so many, especially being the lead. It's like perfection or nothing. If you're not perfect, good luck. And we can jump into that because I know we were talking about it. We'll talk about it coming up here, but with Zach, you know, I've seen some of the things that he's done and people have ripped him to shreds for, and I'm opinionated on that. I got something to say about it when we get to that point, because I'm like, what do you expect out of someone to be perfect for 2 months? I mean, I'd love to see the relationships of everybody that seems to be condemning individuals, because I'm like, let's put a camera on you for 2 months and see if we catch you at your lowest moment one time. Chances are we got 60 days to do so. I'm sure we can.
Yeah. Well, as we've teased, we're going to you can follow on the Almost Famous thread. Right after this episode, we're going to break down The Bachelor and The Bachelor headlines. It's going to be great. I'm going to try to play in that episode a little devil's advocate to you, because I want you to come at the positive perspective. And I'm going to push you a little bit so that we can really get to understand what it's like to be the lead, and the good and the bad and the uglies and where you can mess up with all that. I'm excited to do that with you. I haven't done it with a co-bachelor in a long time, but final question for you on our little catch up here, Clayton, something else I've respected about you that I've watched from a distance is something that I can't claim to have had. I don't have a bad relationship with Lauren, my ex from the show. We have a good relationship, right? She's married to two kids and I'm married and we're living our two separate lanes, but there hasn't been really a place in time where there's been mutual public support. We never like really healed. We just kind of moved on, which is good and fine for where we're at now. But you and Susie seem to support each other in a humorous way. Also in a very real way, in a way that seems very healthy to me, like something I'm learning from an outsider. And it's convicting me in a lot of ways that I wish I would have maybe done things differently, or at least tried to do things differently. So if you can, obviously people care and want to know, what is your relationship like with Susie today? And also within that, if you could speak to how you got to the place of health, so that you could be like you two are today, how in the world did that happen? And was it intentional and unintentional? Just give us some insight.
Yeah. You know, I think it took a conscious effort and decision to decide how are we going to move forward with this. I think when you experience a breakup, there's so much pain that's involved, right? And usually we're at the height of our emotions, and that's when we can say things we don't mean. We can go down this dark path of attacking because we're hurt, right? Like we feel... Yeah. That a part of us was stripped from us when we weren't ready for it to be taken. And so, and then we start to think, well, what did I do wrong? It must have been my fault. Well, then we'll go from that to, well, no, it's not me. It's them. They're the problem. And then it doesn't help that we have friends and family that say they don't know what they're looking for. They're missing out on a good person. And so then they validate that belief of it's not my fault. It's their fault. And so then you start to think about all the things that they did that you didn't like, and you go, yeah, they're not worthy. And so then you start to think, well, yeah, this is their fault. And I think that's where in the past I've had this with relationships where then I start to point the finger. Somebody asked me why did so-and-so and you not work out? Because she had this issue or she did this and I couldn't put up with it. But I didn't like that. I never, when I did that in my past relationships, I always felt that I harbored this emotion that I could never let go of, and it hurt, and it closed me off to other relationships because I thought I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to experience that again. So then I thought, let me reframe this. What is it? I feel like I should be able to walk away from a relationship and be grateful, because why do we have this negative viewpoint on somebody that we spend years of our life with? And all of a sudden we act like we hate them and we have nothing but bad things to say about them. It's like, what about all the good times you had 3 years or however many, how long it was? How about all the good times? You stayed with them for a reason. You loved them for a reason. You fell in love with them for a reason. So what are those reasons? And I think for me, I started to think about all that with Susie. I thought, why did I fall in love with this woman? And I remember I always thought every time I was around her, she made me want to be a better person. And so every time I woke up, I was trying to be a better version of myself. And she pushed me and she held me accountable. And she was there and consoled me when I needed it. And there's so many things I could sit here for an hour and say all the things that she did for me. But I had to reflect upon that. Every time I would get emotional and think, why did this not work out between us? Why couldn't you try harder to make this work? I had to take a step back and think, everything happens for a reason. I believe in that, but understand all the things that she did for you, and you wouldn't be the person you are today if it wasn't for her. And so I kept, when I had negative self-talk, I kept instantly putting positive self-talk in. I was like, second I had a negative thought about her, I'm like, nope, 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 don't replace that. And I kept fighting it until finally I thought, you know what? I am a legitimately better person because of her. And if I would have never met her, I would not be half the person I am today. And then I thought back to my other relationships previously, and I thought, well, she taught me, you know, the she taught me manners. this girl taught me the power of chivalry. She taught me the ability to show my emotions and open up. And so I thought, you know, there's all this positive things that I've taken from people in my life. I just need to remember those when I remember that person. So I have a positive association with them. And then what I found was all the negativity that I harbored was just pain, but really I let it all go. And so when I think of my exes now, I think of the lessons they taught me, not the pain that they caused me. And that's why I can always have a positive outlook on them, and I can speak highly of them, because the first, when you say Susie, I think of all the things she did for me, not all the pain she caused me. And so that reframe has been critical. And I've been really grateful to have learned that, because now, I mean, I'm her biggest supporter, and I'll be anyone else's biggest supporter that I've crossed paths with in the past, because I'm like, you helped me. Now I want to be able to help you. And if I can build you up, I'm here for it, because that positivity is contagious. And otherwise, the more anger we harbor, it just eats at you. And I got tired of that anger eating at me. It made me a miserable person.
How in the world do you do that then with the girl that said on TikTok that she met you one night on a couch or something? How in the world do you bring that positive perspective into that situation?
You know, I guess I should say this. In a fantasy land, you would love to have there always be a positive that comes out of every situation, right? I'm not trying to tell people there's such thing as like overdoing it. And there's a term, I'm just blanking on it. But when you are overtly positive, and it's like you're just trying to force positivity. I'm not saying that everyone should just be like, oh, this really bad circumstance happened to me, I need to find the positive. No, we should, like, sometimes there are just some unfortunate situations that happen to us. You know, I think, though, in that circumstance with that girl, it taught me a lesson that people come from all different backgrounds, and you have to understand that everyone you interact with has a different mindset. For me, it taught me that to practice, forgiveness. She taught me the power of forgiveness, because I thought, you know what, this girl is out of line, but she's also young. She's immature. And, you know, 5 years from now, she won't be hopefully the same person. She'll look back and be like, yeah, you know, second thought, I probably shouldn't have done that. Yeah. And so for me, that's the lesson she taught me, was I need to look at people and give them grace and understand that, you know what, hey, you did this, it was dumb. Whether or not I believe, like, you actually believed it was me, or you just made it up. One day, you know, I thought maybe she possibly made it up for just more followers. But one day she'll look back at that and be like, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And so, and I feel bad for it. And so I try to see people as not just one fixed point in time, but, you know, how this individual can be over how they can grow the same way I did. I'm like, you know, people make mistakes. I should just forgive them for it. Unless they continue to make the same mistake, at some point you say, okay, that's just who you are. But I guess, yeah, forgiveness is what that situation taught me, because I was angry. I mean, I really wanted to sue her to the high heavens. Like, I was so ready to bury her. But then I had to step back and go, Clayton, again, your emotion, you want to bury her. How are you going to feel about that if you ruin her and subject her to all that pain, and everyone comes into her DMs and starts telling her how terrible she is? Now you've impacted her health negatively, and you don't want that. So it helped me. She taught me to kind of like step back and let my emotions subside and then make a judgment call.
Man, the last year has been a big year for you. It's going to be a good year for so many who pick up this book and just continue to follow along with you. But it's been a big year. It sounds like, from my perspective, on growth and understanding and forgiveness and positivity and all these things that, you know, I would think that you'll look back on years from now and be like, I'm glad I went through that season. Even, you know, there's some unfortunate parts, but I'm glad I went through that season, because I'm guessing that your impact's going to be great.
1,000%. Yeah. I the person I am today is because of everything I went through. So very grateful, and so much positivity ahead. So, Ben, I know I got asked to co-host, so I really feel like I got to start firing questions off at you. So we're going to balance this thing back out here. I appreciate you checking in on me, but, I think that was the final question. I think it's time for us to do a little deep dive and to talk some bachelor talk, man. It took me back. I kind of felt a little, I was like, whoa, this is weird watching the show again. Like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah. We are going to balance, the act, after this episode, which ends right now. Tune into the next episode to hear Clayton being positive, me being critical, of this season of The Bachelor.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes. What keeps baby's skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to keep your baby's skin healthy and dry. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. Free and Gentle cleans better without risk of tearing. It's made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess and is 5 times stronger. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.